Welcome to a new special deep dive of AI Unraveled. This is the show created and produced by Etienne Newman, who's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
That's right. And if you're looking to unravel the complexities of artificial intelligence, well, you've definitely come to the right place.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you find these deep dives valuable, and maybe you're thinking about certifying your own AI expertise, you should really check out Etienne's comprehensive AI cert prep books.
Yeah, there's the Azure AI Engineer Associate Study Guide, the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, and also the AWS Certified AI Practitioner Exam Study Guide.
They're all available over at djmgatetech.com. We've put the links in the show notes, so definitely take a look.
And while you're there, maybe like and subscribe at Apple. It really helps us stay updated on future explorations.
Definitely. So today, we're diving deep. We're looking at how artificial intelligence is, well, really revolutionizing healthcare. We've gathered a whole bunch of sources looking at its impact on both diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah, our mission for this deep dive really is to get to the heart of AI's role in healthcare. What's happening now? What's coming down the pike?
And we want to pull out some of the maybe surprising facts, cut through all the noise, you know, give you a clear understanding of this whole transformative journey.
Exactly. We'll explore how AI is pushing healthcare towards, well, a future that's supposed to be more precise, more efficient, and definitely more personalized. Think advanced imaging analysis, personalized medicine, drug discovery, all that stuff.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. This idea of AI in healthcare. What are we actually talking about?
Well, at its core, it's about algorithms, right? Computer programs learning from just vast amounts of medical data.
Learning to do tasks that normally need human intelligence.
Precisely. Automating those tasks.
Yeah.
And there are a few key technologies making this happen. You've got machine learning or ML.
Where systems learn from data without explicit programming.
Exactly. Then there's deep learning, DL, which is sort of a more complex type of ML, using these things called neural networks.
Like artificial brains almost.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And a specific type, convolutional neural networks. CNNs, they're really good at analyzing images. Think X-rays, CT scans.
Makes sense. And what else?
And natural language processing, NLP. That's crucial for understanding, you know, doctor's notes, medical records, research papers,
yeah,
all the tech stuff.
Right. And the sheer volume of medical data.
Yeah.
It's just staggering. I mean, no single human could possibly process all of it, right? Let alone find those really subtle patterns.
No way. Humans just can't operate at that scale or speed. AI can sift through it all and spot connections we might miss, leading to potentially better diagnoses, better treatments.
So this isn't just like a minor tech upgrade. It feels fundamental, a whole new way of doing things.
It really is a paradigm shift. We're moving past AI just being a helpful tool. It's enabling totally new ways to understand disease and tailor care specifically to each person.
And it's not just us saying this. I saw the World Health Organization, the WHO. They recognize AI's potential too.
Absolutely. They see it as a way to revolutionize global health, tackle big challenges like shortages of healthcare workers, especially in some parts of the world.
And it seems AI's influence is just spreading across healthcare, diagnostics, clinical decisions,
drug development, keeping an eye on disease outbreaks, even managing health systems more efficiently. It's becoming quite pervasive.
But this whole thing hinges on the data, doesn't it?
Completely. AI is only as good as the data it learns from. So the quality of that data, keeping it private and secure, making sure it represents everyone, that's paramount.
So the AI revolution is also a data revolution.
You got it. Which means we desperately need better data governance, ethical ways to share data when needed.
And this must have implications for doctors and nurses, too. Their training.
Huge implications.
Yeah.
Medical education needs to adapt, equipping professionals to actually understand and use these AI-driven insights effectively. You know, learning how to work with the AI.
Okay, let's dig into diagnostics. That seems like a really big area of impact already. AI is sharpening the diagnostic edge, you said.
Yeah, making disease detection potentially more accurate, faster, and maybe even more accessible. It analyzes all that complex medical data.
Helping doctors spot things they might miss.
Exactly. Augmenting their abilities, especially in medical imaging, X-rays, CTs, MRIs. Those CNNs we mentioned are proving really powerful there.
How so? What can they actually do with the images?
Well, they can do things like image segmentation, outlining specific organs or tissues. They act as computer-aided diagnosis tools, flagging suspicious areas.
Like a second pair of eyes.
Sort of, yeah. And predictive analytics, maybe forecasting disease progression, plus optimizing workflow in radiology departments, making things run smoother.
Can you give us some concrete examples? Radiology, maybe?
Sure. Breast cancer screening is a big one. Google Health developed an AI that seems to improve mammogram accuracy, reducing those stressful false positives and also false negatives.
That's huge for patients.
It is. And a big study in The Lancet Oncology showed AI-supported mammography could detect cancer just as well as two radiologists reading the scan, but with less workload.
Wow, so it's actually being used.
Yes, the NHS in the UK is using an AI called Mia as a second reader right now. It's a good example of that augmentation idea. And again, if you want the tech details behind how these AI models work, Etienne Newman's books at djmgegtech.com really break it down.
Okay, so breast cancer. What else? Lung cancer.
Yep, AI is getting good at spotting suspicious nodules on chest CT scans, potentially catching lung cancer earlier.
And stroke detection, too, I read. Something about speed.
Absolutely critical.
Yeah.
Viz.ai's Contat T tool. It's FDA-approved. It quickly analyzes CT angiograms for signs of major stroke and alerts the specialists immediately. Cuts down critical time.
Incredible. What about ophthalmology? Eyesight.
Also very promising. AI is showing high accuracy detecting retinal diseases like diabetic retinopathy, macular degeneration, just from analyzing scans of the back of the eye.
As good as human experts.
Some studies suggest that, yes, DeepMind's AI matched or even beat experienced ophthalmologists in some diagnostic tasks. There's even an FDA-cleared autonomous AI, IDXDR, that detects diabetic retinopathy on its own.
Autonomous, meaning no human involved in the reading.
In that specific detection task, yes. And another, Moorfield Eye Hospital DeepMind AI, identified over 50 eye diseases from OCT scans with 94% accuracy. Its recommendations were as good as top specialists.
94%. And dermatology. Skin cancer detection.
That's another growing area. AI analyzing skin images to spot melanoma and other cancers more accurately. There are even mobile apps popping up.
Mobile apps, like on your phone.
Yeah. Apps like AI dermatologists claim really high accuracy, like 97% plus, for detecting dozens of skin conditions.
But how reliable are those app claims in the real world?
That's the key question, isn't it? Those high numbers often come from controlled studies. Real-world performance can vary. It's something you need to be aware of. Understanding AI accuracy nuances is complex again. Resources like Etienne's study guides at djmgettech.com can help you grasp these evaluation challenges.
Right. Okay. Moving deeper. Pathology. Analyzing tissue samples at the microscopic level. How's AI fitting in there?
It's transforming it. Digital pathology scanning slides into high-res images combined with deep learning, allows AI to analyze these images for incredibly subtle signs of disease, especially cancer patterns.
Taking some of the load off pathologists.
Exactly. Automating the more time-consuming manual analysis, letting pathologists focus their expertise on the really complex or ambiguous cases.
Any specific examples?
Sure. Platforms like Aphoria let pathologists train their own custom AI models without needing to be data scientists. We're seeing improved accuracy in spotting cancer and prostate biopsies, which can be tricky.
And blood analysis.
Yes. AI can pre-screen hematology blood smears, flagging abnormal ones for human review. It speeds things up, reduces workload.
It really feels like AI is giving us this early warning capability, finding disease before symptoms even show up.
That's a major goal. Processing vast data sets, imaging, genomics, clinical history, to spot those super early indicators. And also predicting disease outcomes, assessing risk for better interventions.
I saw some accuracy claims, like 94% for tumor detection, and a Harvard model doing similarly well across different cancers.
Yeah, some specific models show really impressive accuracy in research settings. That Harvard Chief model analyzed digital slides with about 94% accuracy across 11 cancer types. Pretty remarkable.
And how does that stack up against human professionals generally?
Well, that Lancet Digital Health meta-analysis we mentioned suggested comparable accuracy overall in medical imaging AI at 87% detection versus humans at 86%. But again, real-world results depend on many factors. It's not always apples to apples. For a deeper dive on how these models get evaluated, the certification prep materials over at djmgeek.com are quite useful.
So AI is moving from just being a second reader to maybe a primary augmenter, doing the first pass, especially in high-volume areas.
I think that's a great way to describe the evolution, yes, especially in imaging and pathology. AI handles the initial high-volume analysis, flagging the tricky stuff for human experts. It fundamentally changes the workflow.
And that could potentially democratize expertise, right? Bringing specialist-level insights to places without specialists.
That's the hope. Imagine deploying AI trained by world-leading experts into primary care clinics or remote areas. It could significantly improve early detection and reduce health disparities.
But we need guardrails, surely.
Oh, absolutely. Rigorous validation across diverse populations is essential. We need clear clinical guidelines on how to use AI findings, protocols for human override.
In making sure doctors are comfortable using it, trusting it.
Exactly. The human-AI interface, how clinicians interact with these tools, is just as crucial as the algorithm itself for getting good outcomes.
Okay, so diagnostics is one huge piece. Let's shift to treatment. How is AI pioneering new treatment paradigms?
Well, it's really opening doors to therapies that are more personalized, more precise, and hopefully more effective for each individual.
Personalized medicine, that sounds like the future. Using AI to analyze all of a patient's specific data.
It's exactly. Genomics, electronic health records, imaging, lifestyle factors. AI can crunch all that to pinpoint the treatment most likely to work for that patient while minimizing side effects.
And in cancer care, oncology, this must be huge.
Definitely. Predicting how someone will respond to a specific chemo, stratifying their risk, optimizing drug combinations. AI helps with all of that.
Are there examples of this in action?
Yes. The NIH has an AI tool using single-cell tumor data to predict drug response at a very granular level. Dayton Children's Hospital has an AI model predicting pediatric leukemia chemo response with apparently 92% accuracy.
92%.
And AI is speeding up clinical trial, matching finding the right trials for patients based on their complex data. Well, Cornell Medicine is even using AI to sort cancer patients by likely outcome to better target therapies.
So it's not just personalizing existing treatments, but also finding new ones faster. AI in drug discovery.
Yes, that's another massive area. Drug discovery is notoriously long and expensive. AI promises to shorten timelines and cut costs significantly.
By screening compounds.
Screening potential drug compounds, yeah. Predicting their efficacy and toxicity early on. Identifying new biological targets for drugs. Even finding new uses for existing drugs, drug repurposing.
I read it could potentially cut R&D costs by, what, 40%? And speed things up dramatically.
Those are some of the estimates, yeah. Identifying candidates may be 10 times faster in some cases. Companies like Invada Biosciences are using AI in metabolomics, finding candidates 4 times faster than average. Exscientia got an OCD drug to trials in record time using AI.
That's game-changing for developing new cures.
It really could be. And AI is even optimizing the clinical trials themselves. TrinetX uses EHR data for digital waiting rooms to find participants faster. And they've used AI to improve trial protocols, boosting patient enrollment rates significantly. Again, if the pharma side of AI interests you, Etienne Newman's Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Guide at djamgegtech.com touches on this.
Okay, let's move into the operating room. AI and robotic surgery. Is the robot taking over?
Not taking over, but definitely augmenting the surgeon. AI enhances the robot's dexterity, provides real-time guidance during the operation, maybe automates some routine tasks.
To improve outcomes, less complications, faster recovery.
That's the goal. Some studies suggest AI assistance is linked to up to 30% fewer complications and maybe 20% shorter recovery times, even fewer technical errors during surgery.
And we're seeing this in actual surgical system.
Oh, yes. Intuitive Surgical's Da Vinci 5 has AI features for post-op feedback. Stryker's Mako system uses AI for pre-op planning and joint replacements.
And specific AI tools for surgeons, too.
Right. Researchers are building AI models to automatically spot anatomical landmarks or highlight safe versus unsafe areas for dissection, like that Gano-Gonit system.
What about radiation oncology? Using radiation to treat cancer.
AI is optimizing pretty much every step there, too. From planning the treatment to delivering it, to predicting how well it will work.
How does it help with planning?
It can automate the contouring process, drawing precise boundaries around the tumor and nearby healthy organs on scans. That saves time and makes it more consistent. Systems like Total Segmentator provide really detailed anatomical maps.
And during the treatment itself.
AI enables something called adaptive radiation therapy, or RT. It allows the treatment plan to be adjusted in real time if the tumor shrinks or shifts or the patient's anatomy changes.
So it adapts on the fly?
Essentially, yes. More precise targeting throughout the course of treatment. Plus, AI models predict outcomes and potential side effects. Commercial systems like Varian's Ethos and Elekta's Mosaic U Plaza are already integrating AI for this.
It really seems like AI is weaving through all these treatment areas, making them more connected and data-driven.
Absolutely. There are synergies everywhere. AI drug discovery links to AI genomics. AI imaging guides robotic surgery and radiation planning. It all reinforces the need for teams with mixed expertise, medical, data science, AI.
But it also raises tricky questions, right? Like, if an AI recommendation leads to a bad outcome, who's responsible?
Exactly. Liability is a huge question, and that's why explainable AI, or XAI, is so critical. Doctors and patients need to understand why the AI is making a recommendation to trust it.
Okay, so we've seen the potential. Let's talk tangible benefits. What are the measurable advantages AI is bringing now?
We're seeing measurable gains in accuracy, efficiency, patient outcomes, safety, and even potential economic benefits.
Accuracy, we touched on that Lancet review showing AI diagnostics comparable to humans.
Right, around 87%, 86% detection in imaging. And specific models report even higher figures, like 94% for some tumors, over 98% for certain heart conditions in studies.
And efficiency gains, making things faster.
Definitely. That pilot study showing AI cutting radiology reporting time by 24%. AI automating pathology analysis frees up specialists. AI finding drug candidates 10x faster, speeding up ECG analysis. The examples are piling up.
And presumably better, faster diagnosis leads to better patient outcomes.
That's the direct link. Earlier intervention improves prognosis. Personalized treatments boosted by AI are more effective with fewer side effects. AI in robotic surgery is linked to fewer complications, shorter recoveries. AI early warning systems for things like sepsis save lives.
So better care? What about the cost? Is AI actually saving money?
Well, it's complicated. There's huge potential for savings. Think efficiency gains, fewer errors, better resource allocation. McKinsey estimated $150 billion annual savings just from automating admin tasks.
Wow. And drug development.
Potential 40% reduction in R&D costs, maybe $26 billion saved annually for pharma. Some Harvard data even suggested better diagnosis via AI could cut overall treatment costs by half eventually. Plus savings from AI detecting insurance fraud.
But is it actually happening yet? Are hospitals seeing lower costs directly from AI?
It's patchy. That JAMIS study found limited direct cost savings from AI decision support in dermatology, dentistry, ophthalmology. The benefit often depends on things like fees and how treatments are structured.
So we need careful analysis for each AI tool.
Exactly. Proper cost-effectiveness analysis is crucial. But the long-term economic picture includes things like fewer hospital readmissions, less burden from chronic disease, faster access to new drugs. Those are harder to measure immediately, but potentially massive savings.
And freeing up doctors and nurses for more complex tasks.
That's a key aspect. Efficiency gains let human staff focus on complex decisions, patient interaction, research things humans do best. But realizing these benefits needs investment, workflow changes, training.
So we need a holistic view, like that AI for Impact TS framework you mentioned.
Precisely. Looking beyond just clinical outcomes to operational, economic, ethical impacts. It's essential for evaluating the real value. And if you're navigating these economic aspects, perhaps for certification, Etienne's AWS AI Practitioner Guide at djmgate.com might offer relevant perspectives.
Right. It's not just about the tech working, but how it fits into the whole system. Which brings us to the challenges. It's not all smooth sailing, is it?
Far from it. Responsible adoption means grappling with some really complex issues. Data governance, algorithmic integrity, regulation, trust. It's a labyrinth.
Let's start with data, privacy, security. That must be a huge concern with sensitive patient information.
Massive. You need strict adherence to regulations like HIPAA, robust governance, methods like de-identification, secure storage, controlled access, strong cybersecurity, and transparency about how data is used is key.
And what about bias in the algorithms, the risk of AI actually making health disparities worse?
That's a major ethical pitfall. If the data used to train AI isn't diverse or representative, the AI can inherit and even amplify existing biases.
How does bias creep in?
It can happen in multiple stages. Biased data collection, how data is processed, lack of diversity in training cohorts, even the assumptions made by the developers.
Are there real-world examples of this?
Unfortunately, yes. A health risk prediction algorithm showed racial bias because it used healthcare cost as a proxy for illness severity, disadvantaging Black patients. Another example involved a VBAC calculator biased against Black and Hispanic women.
So what's the solution? Just get more diverse data.
That's part of it, but not enough. We need fairness-aware algorithm design, continuous auditing for bias, diverse development teams. It's a whole socio-technical approach.
Okay, data is one maze. What about regulation? Is the law keeping up with the tech?
Not really. AI is developing so fast, regulations are struggling to catch up. In the U.S., the FDA regulates AI as software as a medical device, or SAMD.
How does FDA approval work for AI?
Often through the 510K pathway. based on showing substantial equivalence to an existing device.
Mm.
But critics worry this isn't always thorough enough for novel AI, especially complex deep learning models.
So an AI could get cleared without extensive clinical proof it works well everywhere.
There are concerns. One study found clinical performance data was reported for only about half of FDA-approved AI devices, with limited info on how well they generalize to different populations or settings. Post-market surveillance becomes really important.
Is there a global effort to set standards? What's the WHO doing?
Yes, the WHO is actively guiding member states, developing ethical standards, governance frameworks, promoting responsible AI development. They have a global initiative on AI for health to share knowledge.
Another big challenge, the black box problem, not knowing how AI reaches a decision.
Exactly. Especially with deep learning, it can be hard to understand the reasoning. This really hinders trust and accountability. If a doctor doesn't know why the AI suggests something, how can they rely on it?
Is there a fix for that?
That's the goal of explainable AI, or XAI. Developing techniques to make AI decisions more transparent and human understandable. Things like LIME, S-shape, attention mechanisms. But it's still an active area of research. Making explanations truly meaningful and reliable is tough.
So even with explainability, we still need humans in the loop. Meaningful human oversight.
Absolutely indispensable, especially for high-risk systems. The EU's AI Act emphasizes this need for human intervention and override.
Clinicians need training for this too, right? To not just blindly trust the AI.
Critically important. They need to understand AI's limitations, potential biases, and be able to critically evaluate its recommendations. AI governance committees in hospitals, continuous monitoring, it's all part of the picture.
The goal is augmentation, not replacement.
That should always be the goal. But current governance is often reactive. We need more agile, forward-looking approaches to handle novel AI challenges, like performance drift over time or ensuring continuous validation. And tackling bias needs that holistic strategy we talked about.
Failure to address these challenges could really derail AI adoption, couldn't it? Erode trust.
Definitely. Strong ethical and regulatory frameworks are actually enablers of responsible innovation. And that issue of generalizability, making sure AI works well across different groups and hospitals, remains a key hurdle needing constant attention.
So how is all this actually changing the day-to-day reality for healthcare professionals? Doctors, nurses, radiologists?
It's reshaping roles, responsibilities, workflows, but mostly through augmentation, like we said, not outright replacement, at least for the foreseeable future.
What new skills do clinicians need?
They need to become adept at interacting with AI, interpreting its insights, critically evaluating recommendations, understanding limitations and potential biases. Radiologists, for instance, need training to spot when an AI prediction might be wrong.
Does medical school need to change?
Big time. Incorporating AI literacy, basic data science principles, it needs to be part of the curriculum. There are even AI-powered educational tools emerging, like MedMatrix, offering personalized learning.
And workflow changes. Is AI making things more efficient?
That's a major driver. Automating routine tasks, reducing admin burden, speeding up processes. For radiologists, AI reporting tools can cut reporting time. AI can help triage urgent studies.
Does it impact everyone the same way?
Not necessarily. The impact can vary based on individual workflows and how well the AI is integrated. For pathologists, AI automating slide pre-screening or biomarker counting frees them up for complex analysis. Oncologists get help analyzing genomic data, planning treatments, predicting response.
What about nurses and other staff?
AI early warning systems, like for sepsis, can help them intervene faster. AI can also help optimize staffing schedules and patient flow.
So by handling data and routine tasks, AI frees up humans for the human stuff.
Exactly. More time for patient relationships, empathy, complex ethical decisions, providing holistic support. The things AI can't do.
The clinician becomes more of an expert integrator, a critical evaluator.
Precisely. Managing the AI, handling exceptions, applying clinical judgment combined with digital literacy. It requires ongoing professional development in human AI collaboration.
But adoption hinges on trust and usability.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. User acceptance is key. Effective human AI teaming requires trust, good workflow design, proper training, and interfaces that are actually easy to use. It needs strategic investment in both the tech and the workforce.
Is there a risk AI could actually worsen disparities if access and training aren't equitable?
A very real risk. If only well-resourced hospitals can afford the best AI in training, it could widen the gap. Ensuring equitable access is crucial.
Let's broaden the view now. AI for global health. Can it help bridge gaps, foster equity, especially in lower-income countries?
It definitely has that potential. The WHO sees AI as a tool to enhance healthcare delivery globally, address worker shortages and resource limits, and contribute to sustainable development goals.
What's the WHO doing specifically?
They're working on promoting safe, ethical, equitable adoption, developing standards, guidance on governance, fostering responsible development through initiatives like the Global Initiative on AI for Health.
But applying AI developed in, say, North America to a low or middle-income country, LMIC, that must present challenges.
Huge challenges. Data bias is a big one. Models trained on data from high-income countries might not be accurate or fair for different populations, diseases, or healthcare practices in LMICs.
And practical issues, infrastructure, costs.
Absolutely. You need reliable internet, computing power that might be lacking. The cost of AI systems can be prohibitive. Regulatory capacity to oversee AI might be limited. There's often a shortage of local AI and data science talent to adapt or maintain these systems.
So there's a risk AI could actually exacerbate inequalities.
Yes. If it's only deployed in well-resourced urban centers, it could widen the gap between rich and poor, urban and rural. The WHO stresses the need for context-specific policies and strong national governance. Even the environmental footprint the energy AI needs is a concern for climate justice.
It sounds like a double-edged sword. Potential to leapfrog development, but also risk of creating new dependencies or worsening inequalities.
Exactly. The focus needs to shift from just transferring technology to building local capacity, adapting solutions to local needs and contexts, investing in local data infrastructure, local talent.
And ensuring benefits are shared equitably.
That's the ethical imperative. Avoiding further marginalization. It requires inclusive governance, involving local communities in designing solutions, and actively working to bridge the digital divide.
Okay, looking ahead now, what does the future hold? Say the next 5 to 10 years, 2025, 2030, and beyond.
We're likely looking at much deeper integration and accelerating innovation. The global AI and healthcare market is projected to be massive, maybe over $160 billion by 2030.
What are the big emerging trends shaping that future?
Several key ones. Generative AI and large language models, things like ChatGPT, but for healthcare, are set to revolutionize documentation, patient communication, maybe even medical education and drug discovery by generating novel ideas.
That market's projected to grow rapidly too, right?
Yeah. Potentially over $39 billion by 2034 for Gen AI in healthcare alone. Then there are digital twins.
Virtual replicas of patients.
Exactly. Dynamic virtual models of patients or organs used to simulate treatments, test drugs preclinically, predict responses, monitor health proactively. That market could hit $21 billion by 2028.
What else? Wearables and remote monitoring.
Advanced remote patient monitoring, RPM, integrated with AI and the Internet of Medical Things, IoMT. Think smart wearables providing real-time predictive health insights, enabling proactive interventions, especially for chronic diseases. That AI and RPM market could reach over $8 billion by 2030.
AI in mental health care seems like another big area.
Definitely. Tools for earlier diagnosis, personalized treatment plans, AI chatbots for support, enhancing virtual reality therapies. Lots of potential there.
And surgery. More autonomy for the robots.
Enhanced autonomy, yes. Robots capable of performing more precise subtasks with AI guidance, real-time decision support, increasing efficiency and safety further.
And personalization gets even more personal.
Hyper-personalized medicine. Integrating even more data, multi-omics, real-time monitoring, environmental factors for truly tailored therapies, and pinpoint prediction of individual responses.
Could AI help with future pandemics?
Absolutely. Early outbreak detection, forecasting spread, monitoring interventions, accelerating vaccine and drug development, optimizing resource allocation. AI could be a key tool for preparedness and response.
And we'll get better at evaluating AI's impact using those holistic frameworks.
Hopefully. Growing use of models like AI for impacts to assess the full picture, clinical, operational, economic, ethical, will be crucial for responsible progress.
So AI becomes less of a tool and more of an active agent, still under human oversight, of course.
That seems to be the trajectory. More active, perhaps more autonomous in specific tasks, but always needing that human oversight carefully defined. We'll see more multimodal AI, combining different AI types, analyzing diverse data streams, images, text, sensor data together.
Which makes the ethical challenges, accountability, explainability, bias, even more critical.
More acute, yes. They'll demand increasingly sophisticated solutions. That whole human-in-the-loop concept will need constant refinement to ensure oversight remains meaningful as AI gets smarter.
Okay, let's try to synthesize all of this. We've covered a huge amount of ground, AI's impact is clearly transformative, both for diagnosis and treatment, with real quantifiable benefits.
Absolutely. We've seen the potential for greater accuracy, efficiency, better patient outcomes, but we've also highlighted the profound challenges and ethical imperatives.
Data privacy, algorithmic bias, the regulatory maze, the need for transparency and explainability, and ensuring meaningful human oversight. These aren't trivial hurdles.
Not at all. The WHO has outlined 6 key principles for ethical AI in health protecting autonomy, promoting well-being, ensuring transparency, fostering accountability, ensuring equity, and promoting sustainability. These need to guide development.
And we need robust evaluation, looking beyond just technical accuracy to those holistic frameworks like AI for impact.
Critically important. This AI revolution isn't a one-off event. It's an ongoing co-evolution between technology and healthcare practices. It demands continuous learning, adaptation, and adjustment from everyone involved.
Ultimately, it needs a human-centric approach, doesn't it? Prioritizing patient well-being, supporting clinicians, and striving for health equity.
That has to be the focus. Success shouldn't just be measured by technical sophistication, but by AI's ability to genuinely augment human capabilities, align with our values, and ultimately improve health for everyone.
So, wrapping up, AI is undeniably a powerful enabler. It holds immense potential to help create a healthcare system that's more precise, personalized, efficient, equitable, and truly patient-centered.
But the journey requires sustained collaboration, careful planning, and perhaps a spirit of cautious optimism. We need to balance the exciting opportunities with the significant responsibilities.
By balancing that innovation with careful ethical stewardship, we really can harness AI for a healthier future for all of us.
Well said.
And on that note, a final reminder for you listening. If you want to deepen your own AI knowledge or pursue certification, do check out Etienne Newman's AI Cert Prep Books over at dgmgaytech.com. The links are right there in the show notes.
They really are great resources for getting to grips with these complex topics.
Absolutely. And please don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, especially on Apple. It helps others find the show and ensures you won't miss our future deep dives into the ever-evolving world of AI. Thanks for joining us on AI Unraveled.